25. Hebrews 10, verse 25. All together. Well, I'll wait a few moments until you get there. Hebrews chapter 10. That's a New Testament, John. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 25. All together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for its directness. I thank you, Father, for the commands we are to obey. I thank you for the church. And I thank you, dear God, that you just bless those who are in the house of God. I pray you just meet with us tonight. Speak to our hearts. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there are plenty of folks who look at church as a good thing, but they don't really think it's necessary or needful. Now, it isn't priority with them if they go or not. And you know what? If they can squeeze it into their busy schedule, well, it's well for them to do so. Now, I'm not saying that one has to go to church to go to heaven. You have to place your faith in Jesus Christ for that to happen. But if you are going to live the Christian life God wants you to live, being faithful to church has to be part of it. Amen. If one is not faithful to the Lord's house, they will not grow spiritually as they should. They miss out on the teaching and preaching of God's word. And they won't be there to get encouragement from the saints, nor will they be there to encourage other saints. No one will be what they should be as a child of God without regularly and faithfully attending a scriptural local church. I've heard some tell me that since there are two believers in the home, that is where their church is. For after all, Jesus did say, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." Well, these folks take that verse out of context. For that whole passage is about forgiveness. And if we're not right with one another in the church, we're not right with the Lord either. But when reconciliation takes place, we enter into a right relationship with each other and with the Lord. But why should biblical truth interfere with their scriptural ignorance and their lame excuse for not assembling with the saints in church? These words of Jesus have nothing to do with what a church is or the command to be in it. These folks must believe in the invisible church, for they certainly aren't visible at church. Now, I can honestly say I have never met a believer who did anything worthwhile for God who wasn't faithful in their church attendance. Never have. And I've been at this thing for quite a while, nearly 30 years here. I've been saved since 1983. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaken the assembling." Now, whose word is that? It's God's word. Now, it isn't written by some preacher just hoping to boost his attendance. It's God's word. And since it is God's word, it ought to be obeyed. The word church means called out assembly. And while we believers are called to come out of the world, we are also told to assemble together. Now, the word forsake has three different definitions. It means to abandon, to leave behind, or to replace it with something else. Now, God doesn't want his people to abandon, leave behind, or replace their church attendance with something else, even if it's something good. Some justify not being in church by doing something that is good. You know, that church attendance is to take precedence, and to not be in church to do something good is not to obey God as one should. Now, there's nothing wrong with a family gathering, attending a ball game, work, or getting some much needed rest until it replaces going to church. If Christ is to have preeminence in all things, and he is, and if we are to live by faith, then we should be found in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. This verse goes on to say, as the manner of some is. Now, the word manner here means custom or habit. Habits never start out that way. It is something that is developed over a period of time, and after you do something frequently enough, it becomes a reflex action. Habits are hard to break, and that is a wonderful thing if the habit is a good one. For instance, if you have a habit reading your Bible every morning and spending time in prayer, that's a good thing. If you have a habit of going to church, that's a good thing. But this verse says some people had a bad habit of missing church and not assembling with the saints. This custom is one that needs to be broken, as our custom should be to be in the house of God when the doors are open. I'm not talking about being in church when you're sick. We don't need a super spreader. We don't need you to infect everybody else if you're ill. Stay at home. I agree with that. But can we not all follow the example of Jesus, of whom it is written in Luke 4:16, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now listen, if Jesus needed to be in the house of God, don't you think we need to? When it was time to assemble, Jesus had a habit of being there. Regular faithful church attendance is a good habit, but it should be also a conviction that we have. It should be a principle that we follow. Now, a family of believers know they are in trouble when one of them asks, are we going to church today? People miss so much church, it doesn't bother them anymore, and it becomes more comfortable for them to stay at home. Listen, it bothers me when we don't have church because the weather's too bad. We have gotten things so out of whack, and church is not the priority that it should be. We tend to believe that we can still be really good Christians when our church attendance is optional, when it's not. God isn't making a suggestion here. He has given us a command, and one certainly can't be a good Christian when they're disobedient, when they abandon, leave behind, or replace their church attendance with something else. We are to assemble together. Have you ever bought something? Maybe you have it for your children at Christmas time, and it says on the packaging, assembly required. Okay. Then when you're putting it all together, there's one missing piece. But without that piece, what you purchased isn't functional. You do realize that according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Christ purchased the church with his own blood. And when you fail to assemble, you are a missing piece. And the church doesn't operate as it should. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, we read this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, what? In one place. God did a mighty work among them because they were all assembled together. These folks were facing threats. They were facing persecutions, but they still assembled anyway. Verse 25 goes on to say, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You may wonder, well, what day is that talking about? It's a day when Jesus comes in the air to rapture his own to be with him forever. Now, this is the next event on God's prophetic calendar. And you know what? The day is more faster approaching now than it ever has been. And when the trumpet sounds, we believers will be gone and the world will be thrown into utter chaos. Now, I know that man knows not the day nor the hour when this takes place. But I'll tell you what, if I were God, and I'm not, and you ought to be thankful for that, I would schedule this when my people are to be in church. Paul wrote this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now, if we really loved his appearing, we would be busy serving him. We would be found faithful in church and not forsaking it as the manner of some is. Some are going to be ashamed, for they are not where they should be and not living for the Lord as they ought. Sunday is the, what do we call it? Lord's Day. It's not the Lord's half day. You know, I often wonder, why in the world is our attendance on Sunday night not the same as it is Sunday morning? Sunday evening service is important. In John chapter 20, verse 19 through 24, it reads this way. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, what day is that? And that Sunday is the what? Lord's Day. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples what? Glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now the first day of the week, which is Sunday, the disciples assembled, but Thomas wasn't amongst them when the Lord showed up in a mighty way. I believe the Lord is in every service here. But there are times when the Lord shows up in a special way. And I think it's quite a shame that churches have done away with their midweek service and others don't even have a Sunday evening service either. For so often when Jesus shows up in a mighty way and lives are changed, he does so during a midweek service. He does so during a Sunday evening service. So let me ask you, did those who gathered together miss out, or did Thomas? Many a believer has never been the same, for Jesus spoke to them at church and it wasn't on a Sunday morning. We hear that this absentee is often referred to as doubting Thomas. Now, Thomas did not miss church because he doubted. Thomas was a doubter because he missed church. If he had been there, his faith would have been strengthened, and he would not have so foolishly said, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of those nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He'd have never done that if he would have been in a Sunday evening service. We are to exhort one another. It didn't say that the pastor is the only one to do the exhorting, did it? Certainly the pastor is to exhort and encourage folks to come to church. But are we not all to be involved in getting people to come to church? Are we not to set an example about being faithful to it? You know, an exhortation is a challenge to get others to do what's right. Now, while some are good at being offenders and discouragers because they don't know how to talk to people and encourage them, instead they put them down, we are to bolster others up in the faith. And for that to happen, we need to be a good example, and we need to encourage them to do and be what they ought to be, and we need to use wise words when speaking to them. This matter of church attendance is to be so much the more, for the day of his return is nearer than it's ever been. Now, I've been out door knocking, and so many don't want anything to do with the church anymore. I even had one tell me one time, I don't want anything to do with organized religion. Now, I knew what they meant. They meant, I don't believe in going to church. But my response was, so you believe in disorganized religion? Now, I don't care what they meant by it, but either way, it was a foolish statement on their part to make. If I go to a church and it lines up with the Bible, it will have order. It will have organization, for our Lord is not the author of confusion. We did not design the church. God did. He tells us where we ought to assemble, what our mission is, what are its officers, what are its ordinances, and how it is to order itself. This matter of assembling is not unique to the New Testament church. For God has intended his people to assemble in the Old Testament as well as in the New. No less, listen to this, than 128 times in the Old Testament, God uses the word congregation. And no less than 113 times in the New Testament, he uses the word church, which means called out assembly. A local assembling of believers at a specific time, at a specific location. What I'm getting at is, God intended for the Old Testament Jew to gather and assemble like he intends Christians to assemble today. Assembling has always been a part of God's plan for his people. In Numbers 10, 1 through 3, we read this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You say, preacher, that's about the Old Testament Jew. I know, but I'm simply pointing out the matter of God's people assembling is nothing new. How many were to assemble? Well, according to verse 3, all. That means every one of them. Now, when this principle is applied to us today, could we not say the whole church? And just where were they to assemble? Well, according to verse 3, it says, at the door of the congregation. This was their designated meeting place. Now, the designated meeting place for the Christian is none other than the local church. In Isaiah 45, verse 20, it is written, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. Now, the object of this verse is to draw near what? Together. Isn't that right? Now, it happens to be the last thing mentioned in the statement. Now, let me ask you, what are the chances of that taking place if we're not together and don't come to a certain place? I'm just pointing out the importance of assembling together, getting in on all the services so that we can grow more like Christ as a church and draw nearer to the Lord. If one is faithful to church and only attends infrequently, the people that are faithful are going to grow leaps and bounds, while those who miss out on the opportunities to be in church, they will not grow spiritually as those others that are faithful to church. Isaiah 48:14 says, all ye assemble yourselves. What do you think the Lord means when he says all ye? That's right. It means all of us. He's talking to you and he's talking to me. I've heard so many believers tell me that they can worship God on a lake. When I was in Iowa, it was on a river. They can worship God in the mountains and at home just as well as they can in church. Now, if that is true, then why does the Bible say not to forsake the assembling? Listen closely. The main purpose for going to church isn't just worship. That is something we should be doing every day, not just the time we spend in the house of God. And God tells us the main reason in Isaiah 48, verse 14, for it says, all ye assemble yourselves and hear. God has something to say to us. and we need to be in the assembly so we can hear it. He's not going to deliver his word wherever we happen to be. He will give what you need to your preacher, and he'll give you the word you need to hear, but you need to be there to get it. I remember one time I preached a sermon. I preached it twice. I can't find it anymore, but it was a hot one. And I titled it, "Despise Ye the Church of God." And that morning when I was in Iowa, we just happened to have our biggest crowd. Boy, I let the hammer down. And when I got done preaching, I stood at the front door just as I do every service and thanked people for coming. And I stood there all alone. Nobody came out the front door. They all went out the back door, the side door, everywhere they could, but to come out the front door and say anything to me. But you know what? A lot had to do with church attendance. Despise ye the church of God? It had to do with church attendance, had to do with its support. There was a lot of God robbers, a lot of unfaithful Christians. They didn't want to hear the truth. Now there's something wrong with that. We're commanded to be in church. We're commanded to support the work there. We're commanded to go there and have ears to hear. Hear with the intent of obeying what God has to say. But if you're not there, you don't get it. Now, I'm fully aware that you can hear those same words on the website, but that still doesn't nullify God's command to not forsake the assembling yourselves together. You know, this COVID thing had a very negative impact upon the church. Many people absent themselves from the house of God, and now they sit at home, they watch the services on the internet, or they watch it on TV, and they're in their PJs, and they're sucking on their Starbucks coffee, and you know what? They need to be in the church. They're not encouraging anybody else. They're not exhorting one another. We need to do our part in participating in the services. And you know what? Being there, you can't do that electronically. It's always better when it's live and you are there. You may even think, well, I'm a regular attendee. What does it matter if I miss a service once in a while? Well, you're not where you're supposed to be. And isn't that what got David into trouble? Oh, it's not going to affect you, though. In Ezra 9:4, it tells us this. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the God of Israel. For God's word and a desire to live a life that pleases the Lord will gather together to hear the word of God being proclaimed. You know one thing I like about this church? We don't have anything that replaces the preaching of the word. We're not going to have a drama. We're not going to show some movie. You know, we're not going to have a cantata. You come here, you're going to get preaching. Because that's what the church is supposed to do. That's what the man of God is called to do. Listen. People who gather together where they are instructed by the word of God, I understand they're not perfect, but they will grow spiritually if they have ears to hear and they don't feel oppressed by obeying it either. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we read this. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. With the what? Church. And taught much people, and disciples were called Christians. What? First in Antioch. For a whole year, 12 months, 52 weeks, these folks met together, and these believers' lives were so changed that they were called Christians. It made them Christ-like. They had become mature in the faith, and they started acting like Jesus would. They resembled Christ, and they had a testimony that shined. They manifested the life of Christ, and it was a result of being in church for what? One whole year. I've often told new converts, if you will be faithful to the services of this church for 1 year, and you do, notice that, you got to what? Do what is being preached. You'll not only learn a whole lot of Bible, but you will grow leaps and bounds spiritually. You will be changed. If you came to every service this church conducts for a whole year, you would hear a minimum of 208 messages from the Bible on all different topics. You would listen to sermons on the Savior, salvation, the second coming, the security of the believer, stewardship, surrender, separation, the scriptures themselves. You'd hear sermons on marriage, how to rear children, the home, one's walk with God, sin, the Spirit's fullness, prayer, living by faith, joy, victory, the blood, soul winning, service, and a host of other things like heaven, hell, and revival. As a believer, I have had a desire to be in church since the day I got saved. I have wanted to be faithful to services, for my life has been changed. You know, it's been changed in Sunday school. I had it changed in Sunday morning services. I had it changed on Sunday evening services, as well as a Wednesday night service. I owe a whole lot of what I am as a believer to what I've been taught in church. Listen, I went to Bible college, and I'll be honest with you. Those 4 hours in church, I learned a whole lot more about what it is to be a Christian than all those hours I spent week in and week out in Bible college. Amen. You say, why is that? Because this is God's institution. He never promised to bless the Bible college. He always has promised to bless the church. This much I know. That without Jesus as my Savior, the Word as the source of my faith and practice, and without a Bible preaching church, I'd be one hot mess. When God commanded us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, He knew the importance that the church would have on our lives. You know, some people may dismiss the church as not necessary, but God never did. Church attendance should never be looked upon as something optional. It is absolutely essential to the Christian faith. One is not a good Christian if they're not faithful to the assembling of themselves together as a man. To assemble yourselves together, not to forsake it. All right, everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. Faithful in church attendance.